And I believe God is going to do powerful things. I do. That's not just preacher's talk. I'm serious. I have a conviction deep in my spirit that God's up to something. Something powerful is about to happen. Can you give him an amen tonight? Bless you all. You may be seated. The Lord is good. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I want to welcome all of you tonight. Join with us online, Facebook and YouTube and any other tube there is. I just want to welcome all of you. It's such a joy. New Year's Eve, my goodness, it came so quickly. Imagine that. It really did. I know we went through a lot in 2021, but it's mild out there. I don't know. I like the snow. I'm a Canadian. Remember that, man. How many are believing God for great things for 2022? You know, before I begin tonight, I've got so much to share with you. I believe God has given me a word, and I mean that. It's a word to really challenge us and encourage us as he propels us into 2022. But, you know, whenever you see, we just sang about revival. Whenever you have seen or heard about a revival that's taking place in any part of the world, you'll always find that just before revival hit, there was some kind of oppression, some kind of famine in the land, some discouragement, some persecution. And I'll tell you, as we approach 2022, I'm believing great and mighty things, because I don't think what we have gone through or going through is just a coincidence or just so happens to be what we're experiencing. There is a reason why the world is experiencing what she is experiencing. This just didn't happen. This just didn't take place. God knew everything and knows exactly what's going on because he's in control. So get ready, my friends. Something good is about to happen. If you have your Bibles, we are in Matthew chapter 15 tonight. Matthew chapter 15 tonight. We'll begin at verse number 1. Powerful, powerful portion of Scripture. A familiar portion of Scripture. But I believe I have an insight tonight that will challenge you and encourage you. Matthew 25. Do we have it on the screen? Brethren, there we go. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, notice the kingdom of heaven, be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Notice, no oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, notice the word tarried, they all slumbered and they slept. And at midnight, notice midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to greet him and meet him. And all those virgins arose and, notice, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. We need some more. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, notice the word ready, went in with him to the marriage feast and celebration, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open up the door. What are you doing? Open to us. But he answered and he said, Verily, I say unto you, these are the saddest words in the Bible. I know you not. Oh, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man returns. Wow. So many life lessons. I've entitled this message, The Disappointment of Just Missing It. The disappointment of just missing it. I want you to notice the first century lantern or lamp. I want you to examine it. I want you to look very carefully because we're going to look at that at my conclusion because there's something very significant and very important about that lamp. Notice it is filled with oil. And so as we begin this morning, we know this evening, rather, I keep so used to the morning. Jesus, of course, is the master teacher. Jesus is the master illustrator, storyteller. He constantly taught in parables, stories, and illustrations so that the people can relate with, so that Jesus can illustrate truth. Often you have heard him speak about the kingdom of heaven, even in this story. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. And we see him using what the kingdom of heaven is like. Pearls and fish, and nets, fish filled with nets, filled with fish. And he goes on to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus wanted us to know and to have a deeper understanding of heavenly matters. Paul wanted us to know about heavenly matters and for us to focus in on spiritual matters when he said to set your affections on things that are above, not on the things of this world. You see, a lot of what Jesus taught was not only about the church, but about the kingdom. He's concerned about the kingdom of God. If you remember in Isaiah chapter 6, we have a tremendous story. Isaiah goes to the temple. He's mourning. He's lost his good friend, the king Uzziah. And he goes to the temple to mourn. And the Bible tells us as he goes into the temple, he sees something magnificent. He sees the glory of the Lord descending almost like in a smoke-like fashion. The Shekinah glory descended in that place, and there were angels and cherubims and seraphims crying out, Holy, holy is the Lord. And the Bible says his glory, the train, notice, the train filled the temple. The train filled the temple. And you know, that always fascinated me. The train. The train here is very similar to what we know as when a bride gets married and she has her wedding gown. What follows her as she's walking down the aisle? What it's called the train, the wedding gown, the train. Well, I did a little bit of research. Can I go further with you? You know, back in those days, when a king's kingdom was large and vast, that was determined by the size of his robe, the train that he carried on his robe. So if the king had a robe and had a large train, that indicated that his kingdom was large and vast. Interesting. And this train filled the temple of the Lord. In other words, God's kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. It is vast. It is immeasurable. Do you remember? You remember in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nebuchadnezzar is all confused. He calls his soothsayers, his astrologers, to interpret this dream. He didn't know what it meant. He sees a statue. Nobody interpreted it. But Daniel comes on the scene and he interprets it. And he tells them, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. The Medes and the Persians, they are the arms of silver. The Greeks are the ones that are depicted in the abdomen, the bronze, and the legs of iron and clay depict Rome and the 10 toes, nations of the world. And finally, in verse 45, Daniel writes of this other kingdom that's not made by hands coming to destroy these other kingdoms. It is a vast kingdom, a kingdom that's not made with hands of humans. It is eternal. It is vast. Jesus speaks about this kingdom. And in our text, we see something powerful taking place. Let's step into the classroom. Let us step into the classroom of Jesus as he teaches us, as we sit at his feet as Mary did. Remember, when she sat at his feet, she did what was needful. Let us sit at the feet of Jesus tonight and hear what his words are saying to us in this very hour. What is the Spirit of God saying to the church? And so the point that we need to understand as we begin this morning, and my premise is the point of this message and what Jesus is teaching, is the importance and necessity of preparation. That is the key to this story. Preparation. We need to prepare for something that hasn't happened yet. Christ is teaching us to prepare for the moment of his return. And so I got to stop here for a second. I've got to ask you, my brothers and my sisters, I got to ask somebody on Facebook, have you been preparing for that moment of his return? Now you just think about that. Because if you've been preparing, your life will change. If you're preparing, it's not business as usual. If you're preparing. You see, this is important because if you're not prepared, you can be caught off guard when you least expect it. And so we need to expect that something is going to happen even if we're not expecting. In other words, even if we just, as life goes on and as we live day by day, we have to do what we need to do. We go to work, we function in society, but somehow as we function in society, we need to be careful because it's very easy to lose your perspective in this world. It's very easy to lose sight of his coming. Very easy. And you can be sure the devil wants you to forget about this. You see, you can't wait until the hour in that moment of his return, because if you do, it's going to be too late. Am I speaking to somebody? It's going to be too late. You have to build an ark before the rain falls. My God, you've got to build an ark before the rain falls. Are you building the ark? Are you occupying until he comes? And so preparation is the key to our story. The emphasis throughout this text, you see, the point is God doesn't want you only to be ready for now, but for what is in the next event on this prophetic calendar, the next event. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, the next event that we are going to experience, my friend, is the coming of the Lord, the rapture. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. We're going to meet him, and I believe he's coming. Are you ready for that moment? Because he's coming as a thief. And my friends, thieves don't leave notes behind. Well, they don't announce their coming, do they? Thieves don't want you to know. Are you ready? I need to ask that. I'm going to be asking that throughout the message tonight. And so, as we look into our text, we notice this text is very interesting because it speaks of a wedding celebration that's taking place. Some God's getting married. And Jesus uses the wedding celebration as an illustration of his return, the wedding celebration. Today, we don't have wedding ceremonies like they used to. You can be sure of that. First of all, we don't have 10 virgins. Don't let me go into that one. I don't know what's happened about the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of sex within marriage. Today, the world has lost focus completely. Sex before marriage is something that's almost it's like a norm. What has happened to waiting? Have we lost reality here? Who are people waiting anymore for their wedding? We see 10 virgins here. And the point is that we don't have a cultural understanding of the Jewish or the ancient Jewish wedding celebration. Pastor Julio touched on it very briefly when he spoke about Joseph and Mary. There were many, many different steps. And these steps are very important because it will help us understand the coming of the Lord and what steps needed to take place before his coming. And so we enter into this wedding celebration. You see, in the Jewish marriage, there was these steps. And the first step was the betrothal period or the engagement period. This is where the groom traveled to the bride's house. And of course, when they came, he came to the bride's house. There's many things that he did, but there was a covenant that needed to be established. A covenant took place before the wedding. They would eventually have a cup of wine together, and a price needed to be paid, a dowry needed to be paid. And so there was this engagement a part of the wedding, and the groom told his bride, and he made it clear that here we have the engagement, but you see, I've got to go away for a little while. You see, I got to go away, but I'm coming back. You see, the groom had to go because what the groom was going to do, he was going to build an addition to their house. The groom was going to build an addition. He was going to build a house for his bride. Sometimes he would build a house as part of the house in which the bride actually lives. Or sometimes he would build this house somewhere down the road or somewhere further away. But he never told his bride when he was to come back. And so they made the covenant. They had their glass of wine together. A price was paid. The covenant was established. And now the groom is off to build this extension to the house. Now, does this sound familiar to anybody here tonight? Can we all turn to John chapter 14? And here is what Jesus uses. Exactly here, we see the Jewish celebration of what the groom does right here in this text. In John chapter 14, we can turn to verse number 1. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Watch this now. That in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. So the groom's telling his future bride, listen, I got to go. I'm preparing a place. I've got to go build this extension, this addition to our home. Keep going. I go prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so I'm going away, but I'm coming back, and you're going to come with me. When Jesus left this earth, he's coming back. He promised. He said he's coming back. We are right now, brothers and sisters, in that betrothal period. We are in that engagement period. We, the church, are the bride of Jesus, and we're waiting for his return. He's gone to build a place for us, and he's coming to get us. And what? Then we're going to enter into the marriage celebration. And that's why many believe when we're raptured, where we are going is into this wedding feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so we see that Jesus speaks about this. So the bride is waiting for him to come back. She doesn't know when he's going to come back. It could be a year, could be 6 months, could be 8 months, could be five. We don't know exact, just like the church. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We might have certain signs. We might understand certain things, but nobody has a date. Be careful of those who set dates. They will be wrong. We don't know. And all of her bridesmaids and all the virgins were in that same scenario. They were waiting for the groom to come, waiting for the groom. And all of them had to be ready, not just the bride. All of them had to be ready. That's a picture of the church. All of us need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We don't know when he's coming, but he said he will. And if we're going to trust him, we're going to believe his word. If Jesus said it, I believe it. I may not know when, but I believe it. And the devil wants to discourage you and tell you he's not coming back. So he's coming, but you need to be ready. We need to be prepared. All of the 10 virgins, all of the bridal party, all of them had to be ready. Now imagine, brothers and sisters, the bride is waiting for her groom and she doesn't know when he's coming back. That can be pretty stressful. They didn't have Facebook back then. Nobody text. Oh, I'll be back shortly, honey. I don't know when, but nobody picked up the phone, and there's no Twitter. There's nothing. Just have to wait. Nobody gave her any indication of when. Just had to wait. It could be today. Could be tomorrow. What's my responsibility? My responsibility is to be ready, to be prepared, to be clean as I can. Because I don't know when he's coming. And I need to make sure that I'm standing right. I don't want to do anything that would disgrace him. I need to be committed. I need to be faithful. Because I don't know when. I got to stay pure because I don't know when. That's why John, that's what he had in mind in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. He that hath this hope in him, what? His coming. Purifieth himself. See, when you believe that he's coming again, you're going to keep yourself pure. You're going to keep your garments clean. So she had to wait. She didn't know when he's coming. And she had to stay faithful. Why? Because Jesus will not take a bride that's soiled. He's coming back for a church without. Folks, has that sunk in? Do we realize what that means? He's coming back for a church without spots or wrinkles. He's coming back for a church without spots or wrinkles. Lord, may my robes be clean. Lord, may my heart please you. Lord, if there's any spots in my life, if there's any wrinkles, my God, Lord, can you heal me? Can you deliver me? Lord, you're coming back for a church without any spots or wrinkles. You see, once the groom had come, now watch this. Once the groom had come, that was it. They were all designated to go to a certain room. And the Bible says once you're in this room of festivities, the groom has come. The door now was shut tight and nobody was able to get in. Mike, nobody was able to get in. Once the groom came, the door shut. Now think about that for a moment. And so we have 10 virgins. They had many things in common among themselves, these 10 virgins. They were, first of all female. Secondly, they were in the same place. Stay with me. I'm getting to something. Thirdly, they were there at the same time. Same event. Same opportunity. Oh, we're going to go somewhere with that one. Same lanterns. But the only thing that was different, five brought an extra jar of oil. just in case he took a little longer. My God, just in case, I'll take some extra oil. My God. So, 5 brought extra and 5 did not. 5 did not estimate how long it might be. 5 brought extra in case it might take a little bit longer. 5 were prepared for the unexpected. I gotta say that again. 5 were prepared for the unexpected. For the Lord shall come back suddenly. That means unexpected. You don't know when he's gonna come back suddenly. Oh my God, I better have my clothes clean. My robe better be washed. He's going to come back suddenly. The unexpected. Oh, I see something here. There's some life lessons. Life lesson number 1. Watch this now. There are people that have the same look. They might look really good. They have that look, that expression. Oh yeah. We all have that expression. We're all in church. We might have the same clothes. There are people that speak the language. They look alike. They dress alike. They're in the same church. Oh, but there's a vast difference. They might look alike, but they have no oil. You might have the same dress, but you've got no oil. My God. Go to the same church, but you've got no oil. Reminds me of the church of Sardis. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible tells us they had an appearance of being alive, but they were dead. That appearance that they were filled with oil, but they were dead. My God, that's a sobering thought. But if you have no oil, listen, you're not ready. You're not ready for the blessing. Now all 10 of them, look, they had potential. And I want to talk about the agony of potential. I want to talk about the agony of potential. Has anybody ever said to you, oh, that's okay. You've got potential. When you give them a kick in a potential. The agony of potential. They all had great potential. What's my point? Talent is not enough. Potential is not enough. Looking good, seeming to be part of, having the goods is not enough. There are people in prison who have more talent than you and me put together. There are people on Skid Row about to die who have more talent than this entire room together. Talent is not enough. Potential is not enough. As terrible as it is to be in Skid Row, it's worse to have talent and potential and do nothing with it. You see, opportunities you have, but with those opportunities, you fail to exercise what you needed to do. You failed in these opportunities. You failed to act on these opportunities. Yes, people with less potential doing more with their opportunities than those who have the talent but are sleeping. Oh my. Talent, opportunities, but you're sleeping. How many people are sleeping in the church? My God, listen, you're in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus and he's praying and agonizing, blood, as it were, pouring down from his brow, but you are sleeping. Jesus, are there any people sleeping in the church? Is there anybody on YouTube that's sleeping. You're not alert. You're not focused. You've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. My God, you see, my friends, listen. You got to see this. You see, God gives us all opportunities, but how we respond to those opportunities, makes all the difference in the world. It's how you respond, That's the key. You got to stop blaming your mother. Stop blaming your brother. Stop blaming your sister. Stop blaming the pastor. Stop blaming, trying to blame it. No, my friends. Stop blaming, because you're the one that's sleeping. You can't blame people. You fell asleep because you thought, watch this now, it would be easier than it was. Maybe you got a little tired. And maybe your hands dropped down, as Hebrews tells us. Or maybe you lost that step. Some persecution came. Some painful experience took place. Something happened to you where you stopped running the race. Maybe something has happened where you've been discouraged. And now you've been sleeping. You've lost focus. You're sleeping. You're not occupying, and it's getting worse. Oh, my friends, life lesson number two, stay with me, watch this now. You see, friends, there is nothing worse than the regret of getting serious too late. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing worse than the regret of getting serious too late. Too serious. Not serious, but it's too late. In your marriage, you got serious, but she left you already. In your ministry, you got serious, but it's too late. Your business, your leadership, your education, serious, but too late. They were all in the same place, same time, same lanterns, same dress, but something vastly, vastly different, incredibly different. You know, my friends, they all fell asleep. Did you pick that out? It wasn't just the five who didn't have any oil. I used to think that for some reason. But the Bible says they all fell asleep. Why did they fall asleep? Because the bridegroom was late. He didn't come when they expected him to come. And they got a little tired. You know, sometimes you can get tired in the ministry. Sometimes you can get tired walking in the things of life. You get tired in our humanity. We get tired. They got tired because the groom tarried too long, and they all fell asleep. And that's where the test comes in, friends. Are you ready? The test will always come when it takes too long. The test will always come when you don't expect something to happen. The test will always come when something happens to you that's not expected. And so what are you going to do? And how are you going to respond to the unexpected? How are you going to respond when you're thinking something's going to happen, but it doesn't? And so he tarried, and they all fell asleep. That's the test. And you will find these people today living among us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible tells us there are people living in the days of Peter, in our days especially, and it's getting worse and worse. Where? Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And look what they're going to be saying. And they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Where is the promise? Where is the promise? Where is the promise? And so they all fell asleep. My friends, I see something. Today we are dealing with a sleepy, groggy church. I'm going to be serious. I'm going for it tonight. Listen. 221's on its way out. 222. We need something's got to turn. Something's got to turn. My goodness. Yes, a drowsy church. Yes, for some of us, if we clap too long, it gets on our nerves. For some of us, if it's too far, I can't get there. But it's not a problem if you got to travel 25 miles to go to your favorite restaurant, but it's too far to go to church. No. I am sorry, but it's just too cold. I can't today. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too long. I'm not going. I'm just filled with excuses. Yes. A groggy church. A sleepy church. An indifferent church. Oh, my goodness. A church of indifference. Does not Jesus tell us that in the last days, as he speaks about the church of Laodicea, the church of Laodicea was a groggy church, a lukewarm church, an indifferent church. They weren't cold or hot. Indifference. We are plagued today with the spirit of indifference. It's not so much sin. Sin is the aftermath, the result, the fruit of what? Of a lack of conviction that exists today in our world. Where is conviction? What has happened to conviction? To passion. Hunger. There's no hunger in a sleepy church. There's no expectation in a sleepy church. There's no anticipation in a sleepy, lukewarm church. But brothers and sisters, on New Year's Eve, on this night, I have come to you to sound the alarm. To blow the trumpet in Zion. I have come to you tonight to ring the bell, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 13, for it is high time to what? To wake up? Somebody needs to wake up. Wake up. The alarm. I've come to sound the bell, my friends. Yes, I've come to wake you up, to get you excited for the most incredible event that I believe will ever take place. The event, I'm praying, I've come to wake you up, to get you excited for what? For the groom is coming. I want you to get excited that Jesus is coming again. Soon and very soon, we are going to sing the King. He's coming soon. Oh my goodness, I got to get excited that he's coming again. The groom is coming. If you're not excited about Jesus coming again, then what are you excited about? My God. The groom is coming. Yes, that every day is a day that is a gift from God. Yes. Every breath you take comes from God. Every move you make is a gift from God. In him I live and move and have my being. It's a gift from God. Every time you stand up and walk, it's a gift of God. Every time you breathe, it's a gift from God. There are people who haven't walked in 15 years. There are people that can't stand up for the last 5 years. There are people in the hospital beds who lay there, they can't move. And what are you grumbling about? My God! Why are you murmuring? My Lord, wasting time complaining about things that don't even matter. focusing on the non-issues, non-essentials rather than the essentials, focusing on things that don't make any difference 5 months from now, let alone 3 years from now. My God, we got to get our focus off these things and begin to focus in. My brothers and sisters, the groom is coming. You got to get ready to set your affections on things above and begin to blow the trumpet as I'm doing tonight to whoever will listen. Sound the alarm. He's coming again for a church who's waiting, expecting. My God, we got to stop complaining. You see, some of us are not grateful. I've talked to people that are miserable. The 221's been a tough year. I know it. You think I don't know it? I got sick. I know it. I know it was hard. And some of us just complaining how bad it was, as if God is not part of the equation, you know. Murmuring and upset, as if God has lost control of the universe. Focusing on things that are so earthly minded. Should I do this? Should I take that? Should I not do this? Should I wear this? Let me ask you something. Is that really what the issue is? Do you not think that God is in control of every little thing that's taking? How would you feel if you were living in the early church under Nero, the maniac, the emperor, who had serious issues killing Christians just for sport? How would you have liked to be in that environment where every day of your life was a threat and you didn't know whether you were going to eat that day, live that day, because you were a number one target? How would you live? How would you respond to that? Oh, my friends, there are people in the hospital today that would trade places with you at a heartbeat. A heartbeat. My God, people in the nursery home like my mother who would trade places with you in a heartbeat. And some of us are just complaining all the time, how bad things are. You know, friends, we need to stop complaining and start recalling. Oh, let me bring you to the book of Lamentations chapter 3. Stop complaining and begin to recall, recalling, not complaining, recalling. It was Jeremiah who suffered more than you can know. And we find him in the third chapter. He's complaining about the trials he's gone through. I don't have time to get into it. We can look at verse number 18 and follow. He said, oh, my strength, my hope has perished. I lost focus, God. I don't know what's going on in my life. Where are you, Lord? Don't you see I'm dying here? I'm sick. Don't you see what's going on? Verse 19, remembering my affliction, my miseries, the wormwood, the gall, oh, the pain of it all. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and I'm being humbled and broken before people, and they're laughing at me and they're mocking me because I'm preaching your word, and it could not be worse. I've got nothing. And there's Jeremiah complaining, but here's the recalling. And all of a sudden, in the midst of his complaining and the midst of his misery, something begins to rise up. Instead of complaining, it begins to recall the greatness of God. This I call to my mind. Therefore, I started to remember what God has done in my life. I started to recall the word of God. I had a tendency of forgetting how good he was and what he's done for me. And I started to focus on what I was going through now. And I lost focus, and my garments got soiled. My gown got dirty. I wasn't ready for the coming of the Lord. I was living in my own affliction. I was functioning with what I see. I was living in the moment in my pain. But somehow, like the prodigal son, I came to my senses. I woke up. I woke up from the pig pen. I woke up from that place of despair. And somehow I was able to recall how good God is. Have you forgotten how good God is? Where would you be right now if it wasn't for the grace of God? And then he said later, great is thy faithfulness. We are not consumed because of his mercies, for his compassion. It was the psalmist who said, Lord, if I forget Jerusalem, if I forget you, may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to stop complaining and begin to recall how great he is. Remember what he has done and who he is. Oh, friends, is there anyone here who's waking up somehow from their sleepy disposition out of that slumber? Yes, someone who is realizing how blessed they are. Do you realize how blessed you are? You've made it. You're still breathing. You're here. You got a roof over your head. You can eat. You can walk. You can run. You can get into a car. You can drive. You got children. You got a family. You got that. What are you complaining about? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And forget not all. For the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Every step, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's good, whether it's bad. Jeremiah says in the 42nd chapter, verse 6, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will trust in the Lord. My God, groggy church, sleepy church. And so God is saying, expect me to show up, because I said it. I said it, and you need to believe it. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he what? That he should repent. God said it. And what did he say? I've gone to prepare a place for you, but don't worry about it, because I'm coming back to get you. He's coming back. I'm believing it. He said it, I believe it. Friends, I need to ask, are there any extra oil believers in this house tonight? My God, we're going deeper today. He's coming back. Listen, Jesus could be in the midst of your pandemic, in my pandemic, but he's coming back. Does anybody have any extra oil? I got to ask somebody on Facebook. Is there anybody who's got extra oil in your lanterns? Is there anybody in this church that has extra oil? You see, because I might look good. I might look, everything's all right, and it might be all right. But you see something, you know, when Noah was building the ark, and when Noah was building and it wasn't raining, watch this now. They came and they mocked him and they ridiculed him and they were making fun of him as he was building the ark. Are you building the ark? Are you getting ready? But you see, my friends, when the rain came and the ark was built, you can be sure at that moment when it started to rain, the people stopped making fun of Noah, because the rain came. God told Noah, just build, because the rain's coming. And Jesus says to us, you need to build too and occupy, because I'm coming and I'm greater than the rain. And the question is, are you ready? Are you preparing? Are you building the ark? Are you building the ark? It's important that we understand that. And so, do you have any extra oil just in case he comes a little later than you expected? Yes, to deal with some of the battles we go through, I need extra oil. I need extra oil because there's devils that want to destroy me. Paul tells me I'm in a battle. I'm not fighting against flesh and blood. Paul tells me I'm fighting against principalities in high places. I mean, I'm in a warfare. I can't fight hand to hand. I can't fight in the natural realm. I need the spiritual. I got to fight in. I need extra oil. I can't fight this in the flesh. I can't fight this. I've got no oil. No, there's nothing that I can do. I need his oil. I need some extra oil like Jacob, who was able to wrestle with the angel till what? Till the breaking of day. Till the breaking of day. That's a long time, but he had extra oil. Otherwise, he wouldn't make it. I need extra oil because I might have to wrestle till the breaking of the day. I might be going through something that I'm going to need to wrestle with till the breaking of the day. Extra oil. I need it because I don't know what's going to happen from one moment to the next. If it takes 1 month, if it takes 1 year, I've brought extra oil, Lord, because I refuse. Are you ready? Because I refuse. Are you ready for this? Because I refuse to underestimate my future. My God. Because I might need some extra oil. I might need it. Now watch this. Now watch this. Now watch this, friends. Now watch this. We're going to go. This is something here I want to share with you. Watch this before we close. I want you to see this. See, they all had the lanterns. They all had lanterns. But having lanterns with little oil means you are depending on him to come during the day. Oh, who am I speaking to tonight? Having little oil in your lantern, sir, you're telling me, you're telling the world that you're expecting Jesus to come back in the day. That's right. At the time that's expected of him. That's why you brought little oil, because you didn't think he would tarry. You think I thought everything was just going to fit in nicely in a nice box. Everything was just going to take place the way you thought. He's coming back at this time. We have a processional going on. We got everything ready. Look, we got a celebration. There's no way he's going to come later on. But he did not come during the day. No, 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 friends. You see, the greatest blessing came at the most unexpected time. And the greatest blessing comes in your life at the most unexpected time. My wife told me just as we came to church today that today is our what, Nadia? What did you tell me? Our 35th what? I'm going to put you on the spot because I'm making a point here. She said, honey, we are experiencing our 35th wedding anniversary. I said, we are? I'm in trouble because I didn't think we were married 35 years. And then she brought me to a time that's when we first started to date. She's so romantic, you know. You remember the teddy bear you bought me at Rockland Shopping Center? I go, yes, I remember. Yeah. No, I do, but I do. And then she started. You remember that, right? Remembering is very important. Remembering the words of Christ are very important, and we, brothers and sisters, have a tendency of forgetting when we are going through difficult times. When we're tired, when we're discouraged. You see, friends, Jesus is telling us, I know you might be tired. This has been a tough year. He sees your pain. He sees my pain. He sees what we're going through. But you see, brothers and sisters, despite the fact of what we go through, despite the fact of what is happening in our world, we must not allow these things to justify us to come to the wedding celebration with just a little bit of oil. I need more oil. I might be tired, but I need more oil. And if you're not ready, the Bible says you are foolish. I'm not calling you foolish. The Bible says that you are foolish. Now watch this. The Bible says in verse number 8, they all, the foolish, they turned. They turned to the wise and they asked them. They turned to the wise. They said, look, we need some oil. We need, and amazingly, verse number 9, they said, no, sorry. Don't want to be rude, but we can't give you any oil. Sorry about that. Can't give you any oil. Seems harsh. Listen, sister, it's not my fault that you didn't prepare. Listen, my friend, it's not my fault you dropped out. It's not my fault you walked away. It's not my fault you quit. It's not my fault you left your wife. It's not my fault you wanted to do it. It's not my fault you weren't ready. It's not my fault you weren't ready. Listen, brothers and sisters, you're going to need extra oil. You're going to need extra oil. That's right, through the time that we're in today, because the Bible says it was midnight when he came. Midnight's a picture of trial. Midnight's a picture of difficulties. It's not in the day, it was at midnight. And last time I checked, I believe we're in a season of midnight. We're in a season of difficulty. And we need some oil in this midnight hour. That's the hour in which we live in. Not because we're going to come to 12 o'clock in a few moments. That's not the midnight I'm talking about. I'm talking about the midnight hour of what we've been experiencing this last year and the year before that. It is not an easy time. We are living in the season of the midnight hour. Oh, my friends, do you have enough oil today, or are you looking for someone else to give it to you? Oh, now watch this. When you have oil, life lesson number 3, when you have oil, you attract people. That's right. And they will come to you when they are empty. Did you hear what I said? When you have oil in your lanterns, that's attractive. And people who don't have much oil, they're going to come to you to get some. They're going to want oil from your life. They see something and they want your oil. Oh, but you're a nice person. And you might be tempted, well, okay, I might want to give you some oil. I understand that. But you see, my friends, for every wise virgin, there is a foolish one. Oh my. You see, you've got to be careful when you try to be a savior to everyone else. When you try to fix things all the time. You're always trying to fix and trying to do this. And you're trying to, and before you know it, you might have no more oil left. But you see, you need oil for yourself, for your calling, for your purpose. You need it for yourself. The Bible says, tell them, go and buy your own oil. How many times have you heard me preach, get your own oil? Stop trying to get oil from other people. Stop trying to get a quick fix from brother so-and-so. Stop trying to get a quick that from. You're always something quick. We don't want any pain. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to sweat over anything. We just want something quick. So let me get the oil from that person because he's got a lot of oil. Maybe he'll give it to me. You see, wisdom demands that you know how to say no. Oh, I got to talk to somebody. Wisdom demands that you learn to say no. You can't keep saying yes. You'll burn out quicker than the oil you have in your jar. If you keep saying yes, yes, you might end up with a nervous breakdown, my friend. You can't. You can't be a wise virgin and say yes all the time. I'm going to say it again. You can't be a wise virgin and say yes all the time. You can't. You'll run out of oil. You'll get full. You got to be wise and you got to have discernment. You got to have discernment. It is foolish to say yes to those what the Bible calls are foolish fools. Life lesson number 4. Watch this. If they wasted their oil, oh, here we go. They're going to waste your oil too. I'm speaking to somebody. I've got to be. If they wasted their own oil, what makes you think they're not going to waste your oil? Oh. If they wasted their own oil, they will waste the oil you give them to. Life lesson number 4. Foolish people think that wise people are their providers all the time. Oh, we're going to. Yeah. This is the spirit of the age in which we live in today. That's right. They think that they ought to have your house, your car. Your oil, your tools. For every wise person in this house, there is a fool trying to burn up your oil. My God. I got a word for someone out there. It's time to say to somebody, get your own oil. You see, sometimes I underestimate the journey. Sometimes I underestimate what I have to do, and I might need some more oil. Sometimes I might underestimate certain things, and I need to have some more oil. It might be more difficult. I need to be careful. You see, if I don't know how many hills I've got to climb, I don't know how many valleys I might experience. I need some oil to get me through it. I got no strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I need his oil to strengthen me. So just because God's called me doesn't mean I won't have any adversity. Just because God's called me doesn't mean I won't go through some valleys. Oh God, I need your oil to get me through it. So just in case it takes a little longer, just in case it's harder than I thought, just in case I go through another 2021, just in case parenting isn't as easy as I thought. Can I go further? Just in case my marriage is a little tougher than I thought. Just in case. Just in case. Raising children more difficult than I expected. Just in case pastoring is tougher than I thought. Just in case. Just in case. I need to have some reserves today with this season that we are living in, this midnight season that we are experiencing, this pandemic season. And as cold as it sounds, and as cold as it sounds, you have to learn to say no. I'm sorry, my friend. Please get your own oil. I've got to close. Now watch verse number 6. The Bible says an announcement takes place. Behold! Bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom's coming. There's an announcement. What got me about this incredible story, notice verse number 7, that all the virgins trimmed their wick. Well, excuse me? All the virgins, not some of them, not 5, all trimmed their wick. But I got a question. Why, what in the world, why would these 5 virgins trim their wick also? They didn't have any oil. Doesn't make sense. And I see something. You're so sure, sir, Ma'am, you're so sure that you're going to get some oil from the nice wise virgin, so I'm going to trim my wick because you're going to give me some oil, I'm pretty sure. So let me trim my wick, because Sister Agnes, she's so good, she's going to give me some oil. Let me trim my wick, because Brother Bob, man, he's always there to give me some. He's going to give me some oil. I'm pretty sure of it. So I'm going to trim my wick. Got to close. Watch this now, friends. My Sister Paul, can you show the lantern again, please? Now I'm going to close with this thought. And here's the emphasis of this whole message. Notice that lantern? Now what do you notice here? I want you to notice how much oil there is in this lantern. Look how much oil. Look the wick, how the wick is being soaked. Did you see that? This, my friend, is the key to this story. This, my friend, is what I am trying to say, and I have just a few minutes to go. Now watch this. Notice. In order, my friends, for the oil to be converted to light, you see the light? In order for that to happen, the wick needed to be dipped, not just dipped, no, soaked in the oil. The wick needed to be soaked in the oil, soaked in the oil, soaked in the oil. That's the key. Everyone might be here, but not everyone is soaking in the oil. Oh my God. Everyone might be listening to the Word of God, but not everybody is soaking in the Word. Because you're listening doesn't mean you're soaking. Because you're here doesn't mean you're soaking. And so the wise virgins left and told the foolish ones, get your own oil. And they left and they went through the door and they entered into a room where the festivities took place. And the groom said in verse 12, I don't know you. Please open up. I don't know you. But I got the same dress. I don't know you. But I go to the same church. I don't know you. They looked like the other five virgins, but there was a big difference. Oh Lord, a big difference, a huge difference. Imagine, by the time you got your oil, the door was closed. Oh, my friends, by the time the foolish ones took life seriously, the door was closed. By the time you took your marriage seriously, the door was closed. By the time you took life seriously, the door was closed. By the time, Miss Fashion, you bought your Gucci bag and your Gucci purse and your Gucci dress, and you didn't have money to send your kids to school, the door was closed. By the time Mr. Prophet, who prophesies to everybody, thus saith the Lord, and prophesies how this and how great, and you don't have your house in order, the door is closed. My God. It was shut. They couldn't get in. Unconscionable. Inconceivable. How can you be all that and have no oil? No light? Why? Because you're not soaking in the oil. You see, the oil is what's missing. We have singers that can sing like canaries, but they have no oil. We've got musicians that can play, but they got no oil. There are preachers that can preach, but they've got no oil. My God. We've got everything but the oil. Oh. oil's what's needed, but it's the oil that's needed, but it's the oil that's needed. But it's the oil that's needed. I've got to ask, do you have any oil in your lantern? You see, that's what's needed today, my friends. Not more philosophy, not more education. We need more oil. Oily preachers. Who's with me? Oily singers. Oily musicians. Oily administrators. Oily parents. Oily children. We need more oil in the church. Yeah, yeah. The kind of oil that breaks chains, the kind of oil that causes demons to flee, the kind of oil that breaks yokes, the kind of oil that makes a difference, that burns, that keeps burning. Do you have any oil in your lantern? My God. You have the lantern, you've got the wick, but you don't have the oil. The oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. As the oil flows, great and mighty things will take place in your life. What is my prayer? Why am I here? 2:22 is about to approach us. 2:22 is here. What is the urgency of the hour? Not more education, not more philosophy, not more government ideas. What's the urgency? Is we need more oil. We need more oil. And as 2:22 approaches, I'm asking the church, if your lanterns are with you, to bring your lantern before God and say, God, fill my lantern with your oil. To bring your life to God. A lantern's a picture of your life, and bring it to God. And as we wait in his presence, Lord, fill me, for 2:22 is good. I need your power in my life for this year to come. 2:21 was a tough year. I need to lay that aside. I'm going into a new year, and I need your grace. I need your power. I need your oil to strengthen me. I need your oil to fill me. I need your oil to guide me. I need your oil in my life, Lord. Because without your oil, are you ready for this? I won't get through the door. I won't get through the door. Can you stand with me, please? We're going to just, Josh, very softly, I'm just going to pray now. We're going to have a form of a countdown. I'm not overly excited about that, but we're going to have one. But I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, there's a few moments. But once the new year comes, we're not finished yet, because I want to spend a bit more time. We're going to welcome the year. We're going to get all excited. We're going to praise God. But we're still going to extend our lanterns before him. Because what's the big deal of a couple of, oh, happy New Year's, and you got no oil? Who cares? Does it really matter? Listen, what matters is I need oil. Are you with me? We just got 5 minutes or so. Just want you to be still. Pastor Josh, something very soft, and I'm going to pray. I want us all now in our spirit to go before the Lord with that lantern you might have. But that lantern is a picture of your life. And you're coming before the Lord tonight, just these few minutes as 2:21 closes, and as you come into a new year, you're saying, Lord, as I approach 22, I need you to fill me, Lord. Will you pray with me? Just sing a song quietly, very soft, whatever it is, and we're just going to start praying very softly. Let it rain. Father, this is our prayer. Let it rain. Send the rain, Lord. Open the Send the oil, my God, send it. Here I am, Lord, I stand before you with my heart open to receive from you, Lord. As 2:22 comes, as I enter into this new year, may I enter in with more oil, More oil, Lord. Let it rain, oh God, in my life. Let it rain. Is that 1:14 or is that 13 seconds left? Is it 13 seconds? Mm-hmm. All right, ready? 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. God bless you. Happy, 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 glorious new year, 2022. God is good. Now, folks, we want to welcome this new year. We want to wish all of you a glorious new year. But you know, friends, we just can't be dismissed right now. I'm not letting you go. Because we got some soaking to do before we go. We've just got a little bit of soaking to do, because that's what it's all about. So what we're going to do tonight, 22 is here, praise God, we're all excited. But I need some oil. I need oil. What's a new year without oil? It's just another day on the calendar. I don't want another day in the calendar. If I'm going into a new year, I need to be renewed. My God, there's for somebody. If I'm going into a new year, I need something new, fresh. New wine. Hallelujah. So, you know, we're just going to worship the Lord and we're just going to soak in His presence. I was raised in the church, not raised in the church, when I got saved, I was raised in a way where we would soak at the altar. We would just soak. People call it old-fashioned. I don't care what you want to call it. That's where you get your oil. And I need some oil. So I'm calling the church to soak right here in the beginning of 2022. The first thing we're going to do in the year 2022 is I'm going to soak in the presence of God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go for some champagne or some play. I'm going to soak. That's what I'm doing. So Josh, just give us a couple of songs in worship. And I'm just going to ask you to soak the way God has made you. You just spend time in His presence. And just ask Him to touch your life and to fill you with His oil. And ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost, that's the oil, will come upon you.
Let it rain. Open Jesus.
Oh,
intercessors tonight that are with us to pray. To pray for Logos, to pray for this year. Asking you to step out tonight as you're waiting before God. I'm asking you to pray and intercede, to exercise your gift for intercession. I want you to pray. I'm not calling names. I don't need to call names. You know who you are. You know God's dealing with you and speaking to you right now. I want you to release that and begin to pray for this church. Pray for the oil. This year will be a year of the oil, the year of the soaking, the year of transition, the year of transformation, the year of His glory, the year of the oil, the year of revival and renewal. My God, I'm believing God. Can someone pray? Someone begin to shout. Someone begin to cry out to God. Let's pray together. Intercessor, rise up. Rise up in Jesus' name. Nukasha, Rabban Nukasha Koda. Yes.